All right, up next we have an actress for my, I'm assuming for Our Fair City. And again, please, for Christ's sakes, correct me if I pronounce your name wrong. Ella Madelon.
Hi. Hello. I'm happy to be here because I love apocalyptic story time, the storylines. I always have. And they're a lot easier to find these days, but that usually just means there's more crap to sift through before you find the ones that are really worth absorbing, because we all know for every Snowpiercer, yes, there are like three 2012s, specifically 2012, The Day After Tomorrow, and The Core. And what I like about, like, the end of the civilization, or one in crisis, is it shows us, it encourages us to examine the absolute minimum of what we need to maintain a civilization or rebuild it. It allows us all to play, like, armchair anthropologists and kind of pinpoint what the weaknesses in our own societies could be and kind of, just check our balances that way. It's like why it's so much easier to know where the Tetris piece should fall when it's your big sister playing instead of when it's you. So I always like to look at what's going on in the news as well and see just how interestingly they could go wildly wrong. So there were a couple of things I was thinking about talking about today. Like we could talk about the university in, let's see, yes. The University of North Carolina technicians that have designed the cockroach cyborgs that are supposed to use their antenna to target survivors that are buried in the rubble when a tornado or an explosion hits a building and makes it fall. Or we could also talk about the Infinity Project with Jay Rhee's mushroom death suit. And if we don't do that, I just really hope that I Fight Dragons has a band called Mushroom Death Suit open for them someday. But instead, I'm going to take you back to a snowy February morning in 2006. I was sitting on the Brown Line window seat, three quarters of the way through the book I was reading on my way to work, and it was a doozy. I'm not going to tell you the title, I'll just tell you the gist, because spoilers. But the hero, Henry, was a runner. And never mind how, but he had wound up in a snowdrift off the Chicago lakefront in the middle of the worst winter in a decade, stark naked. He was rescued-ish and taken to the hospital, but his feet succumbed to frostbite and had to be amputated. His friends and family are in the waiting room being oriented on how to help him through rehabilitation, and the paragraph ends, Henry awoke and started screaming. I took a deep breath and steeled myself to continue reading, hoping to shake off that scene and, work my way through the next couple of pages and end the chapter before I get to my office. But as I'm trying to continue reading, my vision's getting dark, and I can feel myself getting sleepy. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe I can just sleep the rest of the way to my office. The next thing I know, the train has stopped, the blue and white light is flashing, the recording is saying we are being delayed due to a medical emergency, and everyone on my car is staring at me. Now, apparently what the people around me saw was a woman slumped down in her seat and then twitch for roughly 15 seconds before she sat up and opened her eyes again, very, very confused. I'm sure to me that would probably look like a seizure, and it did to all of the other neurosurgeons on my train car, especially the one behind me that said, "You had a seizure! We called an ambulance!" I didn't know. I was horribly embarrassed and apologized profusely and tearfully to everyone around me because I was sure I was now making them late for work. But still, if I did, have a seizure, I should get this checked out. So the victim did not refuse medical treatment. The guy sitting next to me, the one who had the aisle seat, and when I wanted to sit down, just moved his knees so I had to shim by him to sit down myself, actually ended up getting off the train with me and waiting with me until the ambulance picked me up at Armitage. Isn't that sweet? I never even knew his name. I've just always thought of him as my good enough Samaritan. When I'm in the ambulance and the paramedics can see I'm stable and coherent, they ask if I have anyone I should call. And I think, of course, my parents. They're in New York and need to know what's going on. And they've always been bad about only calling me and telling me bad news once it has already been resolved, so I can't even offer emotional support. So this was a good way for me to teach by example. Admittedly, that does not mean the best thing for me to do was, as soon as my mother answered the phone, to greet her with, "I'm sorry," and burst into tears, but it had been a rough morning. And while I was raced to Northwestern Medical alone in this cold, scary, and I'll say it, apparently seizure-inducing city, I wanted my mommy. Once I was admitted, the medical staff treated me like I was the answer to all of their quotas. I got an EKG, a CAT scan, blood work was done, I had to hand a sample of pee to a ridiculously attractive young doctor, which of course made it worse, and then wait. And while I waited, nursing my hospital-issued gill of orange juice and a packet of 5 animal crackers, they were liony, I thought about what could be the outcome for my myriad tests. What if the hot doctor returned with a rehabilitation specialist to talk to me about my first epileptic fit? What if I had a tumor? Or a brain cloud? What if I didn't have something to live with, but something to die by? Should I start getting my affairs in order? Was I even old enough to have affairs? I certainly didn't have the savings to cash out and burn bright for another 6 to 8 months. Then I started thinking about 4 years earlier, when I rented the movie Requiem for a Dream. I watched it in my parents' bedroom, sitting on the floor, and at the end, spoiler alert, when Jared Leto's infected arm is turned necrotic and they have to amputate it, next thing I knew, I was lying on the floor, the credits were rolling, and I was a little nauseated and didn't remember a lot. I mentioned this to the hot doctor when he returned, ready to assure me that all of my tests had come back negative for seizures and that I must have just fainted. That twitchy thing can happen, apparently. And he said that it sounds like I've got an amputation phobia that, if I'm too emotionally involved, makes me reboot. Like I give the world a full body. Nope! Now, learning this about myself, once I had received all of the bills from the hospital and the ambulance company, came to $42,847.83. But I had insurance at the time, knocking it down to roughly $700, so it wasn't the end of the world.
Like to take this moment to bring up that open enrollment for Obamacare started again yesterday. So if you need that, you know, January 1st coverage, need to get everything filed away by December 15th. Okay.